Well, Jeff, while you get in your GNDL debate, lumps of Brendan O'Davney and shot a Highland Radio. Welcome everyone to the DL Debates. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. Thanks, of course, to the legendary Ivan Borland for the Power Hour Plus and young Ryan Blahalley for the news there. Joe Dex is here producing as ever and looking after me this evening. On this evening's show, shortly we'll wrap up the Senior Championship in the company of Brenda Kilcoyne, our own Highland Radio top pundit. Me and Brendan go through all the big games from the weekend. We'll have a look across some junior and intermediate results as well as the championship begins to heat up. And then we'll have two legends of the game. So two of our 92 heroes, John Joe Doherty and Tony Boyle, will be on the show to pay tribute to the great James McHugh. That's all coming up on the show in a bit. But first up, as I was saying, we're looking across the championships. Before we get into the senior, just a few words on what's happening across there. I was looking across the intermediate championships there. Opening day victory for Niamh Wirra against Burt. Well, Burt came out of the blocks fighting at the weekend to pick up their own first points of the season. And beat Belford. Burt then beat Niamh Wirra. We had Fannad beating Burt. We had Fannad then coming out in the top of Red Hughes. Cairndonagh won in games back-to-back by a point. They beat their rivals Buncrana on opening day 14-13, then backed it up with a 13-12 victory over Clonmacnoise. Well done to Cairndonagh. So a lot of teams beating other teams in the intermediate. Mallon had a opening day victory over Clonmacnoise. They then drew with their neighbours Niamh Patrick Iskakeen 3-13-1-19. And what looks to be a cracking game. So that championship's beginning to heat up. We'll have in-depth look at the intermediate in the coming weeks as we get in to round three as things start to settle. In the junior championship, back-to-back wins for a resurgent Niamh Columbkill. After a brilliant 19-point victory in opening day, they flew in top marksman Shane Monaghan from Philadelphia. They joined his brother Keelan, and they went on to beat Mavelle away from home by 4 points. So well done to them. Mavelle, of course, an opening day win over Perico. Letterkenny Gales, many people's favourite for the championship. Well, they drew with Niamh Breed at the weekend. Narasa and the other team certainly in the running for it. They had a brilliant win over Niamh Alton on the opening day and followed it up with a victory over Perico. And as I say, we'll be looking more and more into the championships as the summer goes on, or what's left of the summer. Joe, what do you think? It's need to put the shorts away. It seems they've all ended very quick here, folks. But listen, we're hoping for that, still that nice summer championship feel before we get into the cutting edge of the knockout stages, folks. But earlier today, I caught up with Brendan Kilcoyne and we talked about the senior games from the weekend and, of course, the draw for round three. Brendan Kilcoyne, welcome as ever to the DL Debate. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, Brendan.
Good man, you're looking fresh.
Looking fresh, summer sessions, Gaelic football, all that kind of stuff on the weekend.
It's a big weekend, a
big
lot of
weekend,
stuff happening.
Yeah, Proclaimers, Deacon Blue, good crack.
There's a few anthems in there.
Yeah, a few anthems, that's right. I even knew the words of a few of the songs.
Yeah, man, good man, hard to beat, hard to beat, fair play. Yeah. But listen, I suppose taking up the championship again, round two, you know, a lot of results in there, some interesting ones, some great performances from teams in there. Brendan, overall, just in the championship, I was actually chatting to Greg earlier today. He was on about some of the teams that are, I suppose, putting up performances we're maybe not expecting. And I'm just putting that down to Brendan, coaching that's going on at club level. What do you think? A lot of teams are very well set up. They're getting a lot of, they've good management teams, good coaching teams. And that's why we're seeing some of these performances we think are foregone conclusions. Not always the case.
Not always the case, and that was typified by my visit to the Bridge yesterday, Brendan. Like our draw, I was down at their game last week, and listen, against Kilcar were so superior in every sector of the game, kind of thing, and poor performance down there from our draw, but they came out yesterday, and it was really, really encouraging, Brendan. They played with real aggression, real intensity, all everything that you want, and really well set up, and defensively brilliant, getting turnovers, mixing the running game with the kicking game. We Kyle McHugh at centre half forward, really impressive, kicking ball into Shane Sweeney, and look to really have a good game plan, Brendan, which goes back to what you're saying about the coaching side of it. And they obviously learnt a lot from their first game against Kilcar, where you felt they stood off Kilcar too much.
Yeah.
Whereas yesterday they went at it and they put fierce pressure on what is a very experienced and a good St. Michael's team. Now, listen, St. Michael's deserved it. They were dominant in the middle of the field, but Ardra never threw the towel in. And I think St Michael's were 8 points up with 5 or 6 minutes to go, and the great Christy Toy was on commentary with me.
Yes.
We thought game over, home and hosed, and next thing, our draw coming back in, and it left it a nervy finish for St Michael's, who had thrown up a 4 point lead the week before too against Gidoor down in Marragallan. So very encouraging, an enjoyable game, really good game, and you had the old heads, like, as I say, Michael's a very experienced team. You look at Michael McGinley, Martin McElhenney, Daniel McLaughlin, Colin McFadden, you know, Michael Cannon, Stephen Doak, they've so much experience through their team. The two O'Reilly brothers are absolutely brilliant inside, particularly Edward. I thought he had a fantastic game. What a lovely footballer to watch playing. And then, of course, you have that man, Michael Langan, in the middle of the field. Mm. You'd pay to watch him play football any day of the week, so you would. But a good game, really well contested. I suppose Michaels would be really happy to get the win, take a bit of the heat off going into round three. So for them, from the point of view of, you know, having lost their first game, Ardrigh will take an awful lot of encouragement for this too, so they will, you know. And I mentioned a few of the young fellas, they're a young enough side, so they are, but they really will, I think, take something from this, because they were asked a lot of questions and I thought they played really well. They play Ballyshannon now, Irua Ballyshannon, in round three, so they'll go into that with renewed optimism, I think, Brendan, you know.
Yeah, but Irua have had a tough time so far. Brendan, just you mentioned Langan, the importance of people that come, you know, and have been watching different people's influence more than the great man Michael Murphy again this week, but where Langan plays, you know, you get the feeling with St Michael's, because of his influence, he needs to be everywhere, but if you look at where he is really dangerous, he needs to be further forward. Whereabouts was he operating? I suppose he was everywhere.
Everywhere.
I get that with club, but then you think, is he sometimes a wee bit sacrificed in terms of where he can be, in terms of popping over, particularly the two-pointers?
Yeah, and listen, he got a couple of them yesterday, so he did a lovely striker of the ball, Brendan, but he was all over the park yesterday. Yeah. There were a couple of times he even commented that he was back in his own back line, swinging lovely 40, 50-yard passes to get them out of trouble, maybe in defence. So, you know, for a team like... Where would you? Of course, you want to see him for Donegal up the top end of the field, because you know that's the day. That's where he can hit them 2-pointers and get them scores on the board for you. But absolutely phenomenal footballer, Rolls Royce of a player, lording it around the middle of the field, catching ball. Now, he was well supported. He had a very good supporting act in Michael Henney and McGinley and Michael Cannon in particular, and they dominated that area. Brendan, Ardrigh came out after half time, got a goal that put them 2 points up, and I think Michaels went and kicked 1-7 without reply thing, and just looked phenomenal for them, you know, for that period of time. Totally dominated middle.
Seeing a lot of that, Brendan, with teams getting on top of teams, because they get a couple of scores, their tails up, and then they squeeze the kick out.
Yeah.
And then the opposition can't get out, and you have this period of dominance. You're seeing a lot of that now happening between scores and then the squeeze and the kick.
Big time, Brendan, and that was a huge example of that, Jess. They just absolutely pushed up on them. Ardrigh couldn't get out, literally. Mm. I think they'd only won at 2 tacks in the first 15 minutes, 20 minutes of the second half, so they had Brendan. And as you say, just put the squeeze on. And we're seeing that, because when you get that momentum, you know that you can push up and just drive that ball straight back in. And that's what our St. Michael's were doing in the second half. So they were, and just very hard to stem that tide when it comes against you, Brendan. So it is. And to gain that momentum back is really, really difficult, so it is. Mm. Within game, so it is. And you can try whatever you want. If you're a manager on the side, and I say you're scratching your head out, sort of thinking, how can we twist this around, kind of thing. Very difficult, so it is.
Yeah, 100%. Brendan, Niamh Connell, listen, a straightforward victory over Éirua. It's going to be a tough championship for Éirua. Brendan McDyer back.
Again, what a player.
The evergreenness of this man is just phenomenal.
Yeah, he's a freak. So he really is. Like, you know, it's funny, I was chatting to him.
He needs his DNA test. We need to check out what's running Brendan McDyer.
Yeah, I was chatting to him down in Davy Brennan Park the week before. After the game, I just met him out in the car park. And lovely fella, Brendan, too. But absolutely brilliant footballer. Looks so composed on the ball. And he, you're looking at him and you know that he has 22 odd championships or whatever he has under his belt, and he looks as fresh as a daisy. He looks so fit and strong, and just I'd say to play would be a joy to play with too, Brendan. I see Max Campbell was back in the fold for them yesterday too.
A lot of players returning now, our other
friend Finbar. Did you see the goals Finbar scored over on the stateside?
He makes it look easy.
He does, yeah.
So listen, more to come, I think, from Niamh Connell. Not learning a lot in that game, unfortunately. Down in Glenswilly, Brent, we mentioned players returning, just talking about, you know, everybody knew, like said, Dahi Gilday, Dolan Gallagher, and all these guys doing, by the way, doing really well in America, playing great football. Now they're back into the fold. And, you know, after Downing's performance against Niamh Connell, you know, Glenn Swilly proven too strong. And again, listen, Michael Murphy, 10 points.
10 points, yeah.
What are you going to do with this man? I mean, if he's isolated inside, it's just it's damage limitation, but really it's only it's a matter of what he's going to score.
Absolutely, yeah. And myself and Christy were chatting about this yesterday, about Michael playing inside and what he brings to that inside line, like, and it's phenomenal, like, you know. And again, a huge player, and I think Glenn Swilly will have a huge say on the destination of this year's Dr. Maguire Cup. They seem to be coming together at the right time to have the big man Michael back at full flow. But they also have some really good young talent coming through, a very young side. And you mentioned two of the two Bucks, the two Yanks that came back, Dahi and Donald. They're going to give a huge lift too, because they're two top quality players. So they are, they really are. And they've a couple more players to come back into
really
the fold
well
too.
Brent set up defensively last week, watching them, the commitment to what they were doing. You know, at the other end of the pitch, funny, just talking about Terman. Like, Terman were kind of one on one, they were dropping back in, they were a wee bit off on the tackle at the time. I know it was first game and all that, but it was the way Glenn Swilly were set up too. So if they can get their defence right, and obviously with these lads coming back, it's going to add a lot to their forward line. Along me, Michael, you've got a nice mix in of a dangerous team.
You've a really good mix. I don't know if Jack Gallagher was back yesterday now too. He's to come back into it, and there's a couple of other players I think that have to come back, Brendan. And as you say, you can be sure with the Glenn Swilly team that they're going to be very well organised, Brendan, tactically, and, you know, they're going to be well coached, they're going to know their roles within the team. And as I say, I think they're going to have a big say in the destination this year. So they are, and with Michael firing the way he is, and, you know, seems to be playing injury free and with a lot of freedom kind of thing, he's going to be, they're going to be a big detail. So they are. And from a point of view of Downing's, very impressed with them down in Glenties the first day, but, you know, that a home game yesterday, it was a game that they've been looking at to say, maybe we can get something from this here. So disappointment from them kind of thing after putting in a huge performance the week before. Keane McBride was absolutely fantastic down in Glenties the first day, and I think I believe he played well yesterday too, so he did. But, you know, they probably lack, they're very reliant on Paddy McIlwee for scores up front, so they were, and probably lack a bit more punch. Keane McGrady was very good too, but not, probably lack a bit more punch up front maybe.
Definitely. Talking about teams there, you're with Glenn Swilly. Listen, one of the teams that's always a favourite currently is St Union's. If they wanted to dampen that, Bren, they certainly didn't in the first half. If that was a plan, you know, and going into the game, Bren, it was funny because of, listen, Dunlow, listen, the damage they did later on, pulling away from McCool's in the previous game, and because of Union's easy victory, plus Oisin Gallen, their talisman, wasn't in there. Everything was pointing at a game that Union's would control and won. The game was completely flipped on his head. Bren, you talk about, again, there's an interview with Damon Devaney up on HighlandRadio.com there, but, you know, I was so impressed with McCool's. Now, Union's obviously played into that, but Bren, at half time, 8-3, you know, 11-3. Yeah. Thanks for correcting me, my apologies. 11-3. 11-3. But it was a way McCool's played and how they dominated the match. And, you know, there was some brilliant performance in there. You know, no more, I think Sean Martin, probably man of the match, but Conor McGinty, brilliant. You know, you players like young Jamie Keegan in there. Like, and even big, Chad McSorley, Aaron Kelly inside. Everybody was working so hard. They're shifting the midfield, like Luke Gavin and Gavigan and Killian in there. They put in such a shift, Brendan. And again, like you were saying, put a squeeze on the Union's kick out, but Union's just seemed, you know, Union seemed like a team, like it was a first league game.
Yeah.
You know, it was Championship, and it just didn't seem like, now we expected the comeback in the second half, and that it did. But if anything, then Union's went a couple of points up in control of the game, and it was them that the game swung back, and it was actually McCool's who upped the game. So every metric going into this, you know, the week before, McCool's had three scores, you know, no 2-pointers. And by half time, they had 6 scores in this game.
Yes,
again, maybe that first game where you don't really do yourself justice. And Damien was saying about the amount of balls dropped short in that. So maybe that game could have been a bit different against Dunlow. But certainly they give it their all. And just come back to that coaching thing that we said at the top, you could see how well drilled they were to carry out a game plan. And it was one that nearly won it for them. And in fact, late on, it looked more like it would be McCool's who would take the actual 2 points.
Yeah, and listen, McCools, we know they've a lot of talent. We've been talking about them for the last few years, and particularly the young fellas you mentioned, Sean Martin. Conor McGinty was one of my favourite players at underage level. You know, I had him at minors and under 20s. Fantastic, fantastic footballer. We Kevin McCormick was back in the fold too, came in sub. I was listening to yourself and Oisin commentary on the way down, and I was a worried man at half time myself, Brendan, at 11 points to 3. You know, and just by, you know, listening to what G were saying, that seemed to be very flat. To be fair, they came out and they bounced in the second half for the first, you know, with 3 or 4 minutes. You thought, ah, here, we're back on track again, yeah, kind of thing. Yeah. But disappointing probably result for, you know, without Oisin Gallen, you have to fancy Unions. They're one of the favourites going into it. Disappointing performance, and they'll be looking for a big bounce back now, so they will in round three. So
yeah, and you know, the kick-out thing, obviously Sean Patton's in goals there, man, and giving it short on a wet day, dangerous. Mm-hmm. But when Unions were going long, McCools were winning it as well. Now, in the second half, Patton had a couple of them huge boomers and just caught everybody out. But the ball was landing nearly in the McCools 45, and the jeopardy that that brings is unreal. But maybe it was a bit different in the second half. Maybe it was a bit easier to kick kind of down the way. But that changed.
I think as a defender, if you're a unit, or if you're a McCools defender, you don't want to see these kick-outs landing.
Let the cornerback have it.
Yeah,
give him a short. Yeah, and then if everybody squeezes up,
you have your men up anyway.
Because you're getting it in the corner as well. So it was that thing. That, listen, I just have to say, you know, as well, Shane O'Donnell just was unreal. Almost carried the game completely. Like, just from his ball carrying and his 4 points, a brilliant left, right foot. Like, he was the...
He's turning into a huge leader for the St. Junius team.
That's
so
it, that's it. There was a brilliant equaliser later on from Owen McGinn as well. But again, Union's not maybe... You're on about Michael Murphy, isolating players. Isolate them and get them one-on-one. The whole Union's forward line was sitting in just where McCools wanted them. Everybody was in together.
Very narrow.
Get people out of the way. Get your one-on-one players on the ball and then see how that can take you on. So, listen, it's another game. It's early days. I suppose it's a bit of learning. Honours shared there, Brendan. Terman, bit of a goal fest for the Terman men. Glenfinn again, a team that, you know, Frank McGlynn isn't very well organised. The 111-4-7, like, if you're a manager, you're thinking then, like, restricting Terman to 7 points is serious, but the goals was the killer in that for the Glenfinn men.
Absolutely. 4 goals would win you most games, Brendan, so will, and that proved to be the case in this, you know. But Glenfinn are getting men back too, so they are. Sean Ward started yesterday, a brilliant footballer, and I think Luke McGlynn and Daniel Marley came onto the field again, boys travelling to the States for the summer, so they'll get better, I think, as the championship goes on, because they're huge players for them. And they're always difficult. They're always difficult to beat. We know that going back to our own day, Brendan. You know that Glenfinn will always challenge you. But Terriman would be just happy to get off the road, because they have to go to Niamh Connell in the next round. That'll be a clinker of a game, Brendan.
Should be a big game.
So it was a huge 2 points, huge to get 2 points on the board for Terriman yesterday.
Yeah. And listen, Dunloe, Kelly Bakes, Dunloe, obviously, Brendan, back-to-back. You know, there's another team you think they could cause a few problems when they get back to that county final where they were a couple of seasons ago. So they're interesting stuff. 2 defeats for Kelly Bakes, with 2 wins for Dunloe. And Brendan, just looking into the draw then, you know, Dunloe home to Downings as well. You know, they'll be fancying, you know, getting into that quarter final berth for sure.
Top four, right?
And really, like, being a dangerous side coming into this, Bryn. What other ones you mentioned? Obviously, that match with the Terriman men and the men from Glenties. What else is in there, Brendan?
Well, the Gidor McCools one, they seem to meet every year. It's their annual reunion. So I just seem to be seeing that championship fixture come up every year. So St. Michael's Four Masters will be another good one. St. Michael's Four Masters. I think Four Masters might be at home, and that Michael's were home yesterday.
Four Masters.
So be interesting to see how Four Masters are progressing, Brendan. I haven't really seen them play yet, kind of. But it'll be interesting to see how they progress, because Michaels are, you know, good, strong, physical side, and they will test most sides out there, so they will. I suppose a big one at the bottom will be our Dry Arua.
Yeah.
That's a huge game, so it is. That's a huge game for both them clubs. Both them will see it as an opportunity to get off the mark. So our Dry at home venue, if they can carry on the form that they brought to the Bridge yesterday, I would fancy them to kind of go on and beat Ballyshannon.
Yeah.
But it's that consistency, getting that consistency in their performance.
Yeah, so all the games have something in them. They look like they could all go either way. There's certainly going to be a match in most, and probably in Unions. Leave Columba with coming up from intermediate there, the 2 defeats. Unions at home, like, Unions probably needed maybe a bit of a stiffer challenge, maybe. But, you know, certainly...
Yeah, I think with the way the original draw was, it piled all the teams nearly to one side, and that's kind of, that's just the way it is. But Brendan, I think it gets interesting now, Brendan, you know, the first two rounds are kind of, you know, teams can afford, if you drop a point or two, so be it. But see, I think once, now there's really something to play
for. And once
the
draw was set up, like, Edwin, you know, straight away you think, right, that's not the way. What we need every week is big teams, potentially. Like, and listen, don't get me wrong, all these games I think are very fascinating, but we need the more jeopardy in that. And I think, but like with all the Ireland series is at inter-county level, you need a bit of that rolling, as in you're going to have a like a big game, like big teams that they can't be separated for the early rounds and that, you know. But
yeah, and looking forward to that, Brendan, you know, that when it does, obviously the prelim quarterfinals, but I think even the next two rounds is going to be more jeopardy. There's going to be a real scramble to get out of the bottom four, so there is a real scramble to get into the next eight, and then obviously you get a bye. How much of an advantage that is to get to a bye to the quarterfinal, I'm not so sure, kind of thing. With that remains to be seen, but teams will still want to finish in the top four to avoid the prelims, Brendan, you know.
100%. Brendan Kilcoyne, as ever, thanks for joining us in DL Debate.
No bother, Brendan. Pleasure.
Top man. Top man, BK, as ever. Folks, after the break, as I'm delighted, I'm going to be joined by John Joe Doherty and Tony Boyle with a tribute to James McHugh. Yes, folks, welcome back to the DL Debate. Now we're going to pay tribute to James McHugh, and as this is a GAA show, there my two guests need little introduction. Two great men, Tony Boyle and John Joe Doherty. Are you there, lads?
Thanks, so, Brendan. How are you?
Yeah, Benny, good evening. Yes.
Lads, thanks so much for joining us. Lads, this is a tough time. I know we're all numb here, Donegal, GAA in particular, and just our hearts going out to the family, you know, the McHugh and O'Donnell family, and, you know, trying to make sense of the tragedy, you know, to Owen and Emma, of course, and just to all the families there, you know, the McHugh family and what they've done for Donegal GAA, you know. Of course, Mary Catherine Enda, of course, played fullback on those championship winning teams, you know, Martin, and, you know, met Martin and Patricia down at the wake, Ryan and Mark. It's kind of hard to, I suppose, estimate the effect that the family has had on Donegal GAA, and that's why this tragedy has gone so deep with us, the loss of James and Noreen, and just to the Kilcare Club being down there, the way they handled things down there logistically, getting people in and out, but it was just their style, and have so much respect for the club and the people there, how they handled this tough time, lads. And just having yous on here, boys, just your feelings from the get-go. John Joe, I know you spent many's a trip with James, heading over and back to training and games and that, and just your feelings, John Joe, at the start.
Yeah, that's right, Brendan. Well, of course, myself and James went back a good while, you know. When I went into Carrick Vocational School as a first year in 1980, James was in fourth year at that time, and Noreen was in third year. So I've known them quite a long time, and, you know, just it's very, very hard to make sense of it all. I marked James for the first time in a league final. It was the last game of the league. It just happened. Both teams happened to be on the same points. Kilcare were crowned county champions the week before in the championship, and James was captain. So he ended up in corner forward of me. I was just a young fella making more or less my debut for Neve Columbus Senior. So that was my first dealing with James on the field. And I've known James, and then he joined the county panel then in 1989. Tom Cunnan had him in for a year. Obviously, James's character was evident from early on, and then we had a bit of success then the following year with Brian McInniff in the Ulster Championship in 1990. So kind of took off from there then. Yeah. We've known each other since.
Yeah, listen, phenomenal stuff. Tony, you know, obviously you're playing with James in the forward line. You know, that style that he had, you know, you're so elusive. You know, I just remember watching all you guys, the way you played and what you did, and it was phenomenal to get playing with him. His last year was my first in there, Tony, but just playing with James and I suppose his style, you know, he could kick a score, he could pick a pass, and say he was very, very hard to mark.
Yeah, Bryn, I suppose, say, as John Joe said, James came in and I think 1989, and then I was brought into the panel by Brian in 1990. So sort of we were newbies, even though, you know, James was, I think, 6 years older than me. But I suppose the best way to describe James as, you know, he was very quiet, non-assuming off the field, but an absolutely ferocious competitor on the pitch. And that was whether you played with him, that's whether you played against him at club level. And I always remember, I suppose, my first running with James wasn't really a running, but it sort of gave me an eye-opener of James, of how competitive James was. We actually played together. We had won the 1990 Ulster title, and I think the following week or two, we were going down to play Kerry and Cork on the opening of two pitches down there. And we went down and we played Cork on the Friday night. I think it was out in Niall Cavan's Castlehaven Club. And that was actually my first ever start in a challenge match. And listen, of course, I was a bit nervous. Everyone trying to make an impression. But I always remember early in the game, I don't know, maybe the wee man played a great ball in to me and I won it. And James came flying off my shoulder, but I just couldn't get it to him. But I managed to step around. I think Conor Coonan was full back at the time, and I stepped around Conor Coonan and I kicked it over the bar, and I was sort of very, very happy with myself. But I'll tell you, James let me know on his way back out past me that he wasn't happy with me, and I got some choice words. But listen, that was probably going through James's head. There was probably a half goal chance on if I had to get the ball away to him and that. And I suppose everyone was fighting their own wee corner, their own wee patch for a place in an All-Ireland semi-final. But you just knew he had that competitive spirit. But it's funny, Bryn, I listened to a podcast heard Paul Galvin, and they were asking about the art of the ball or ball winning. And to me, James was way, way ahead of his time. Like, for a small man, he played wing half forward. To me, he was the best man for winning breaking ball around the middle. And back in the early 1990s, it was the land of giants out around the middle of the field, where you had Malloy and Murray and Gilligan and these monsters, Stephen King. And James seemed to have this knack of just going in through, when the ball, everything was kicked long, ball would break, James would go on. And talking to Jim McGuinness over the weekend, it was just the best way to describe it. He would swoop in through all these monsters, and all of a sudden he came out with the ball. And the one thing about James, he'd always make the right decision when he was on it. So listen, a fantastic teammate to be privileged to say that we got to play with, you know.
Yeah, indeed. John, that type of brain outside of the skill that he had, you know, people talk about coaching and teaching people this and the skills, but really what Tony was chatting about, that's just in you, isn't it? That just ability to see danger, read danger, and know when to release the ball, when to carry it, and just the right thing to do.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There's no question at all about it. James McHugh was a natural as far as reading the game's concerned, and he was ahead of his time, as I said somewhere previously to this, because James' philosophy on the game was just to do not give the ball away under any circumstances. That was, he lived and died on that. And any players, you know, that would tend to be a bit sloppy with their distribution or gave away ball and lost possession, you know, James was well capable of being fairly fussy as to whether you'd get it again from him the next time, you know. So he was a serious team player. He knew the men that needed to be on the ball. He knew how to get scores. And, you know, listen, it's probably he came from a dynasty, you may say, of McHughes. You know, there's not many families that have three generations of championship medals, but that's the kind of background James had. And his uncles on his mother's side were serious GA men as well. So, it would have been straight from the cot that James would have been learning how to master the skills of Gaelic, and yeah, that was it. And even young players like yourself, those coming into the squad, he was very, very good.
Yeah.
He was very good and generous with his time with younger players. And, you know, I even think back that, you know, players like Patrick Cunningham, you two lads would know Patrick, he died incidentally as well, tragically in a car crash, and he was breaking into the Donegal team around the mid-90s, and himself and James struck up a great relationship, even though James was a lot older. But I think the one common thing them two men had is that they both loved the cigarettes, and they were the only two smokers about. So that was James. James didn't look at your titles or anything like that. I mean, like, if you were willing to have a conversation with James, James was your friend.
Yeah. Tony, you mentioned giving the ball away. I'm just thinking about Jonjo in that car with Noel Higgerty. And maybe Martin. And if you had given away a few balls, it could be a bit of skinning going on there. That could have been a rough place.
We often used to say, Benny, we used to, you wish you were a fly in the car to hear the amount of skinning. But it's funny because I got chatting to the wee man. Some of us met the wee man just after down in the townie at the club, and he told a funny story about wee James. And this would be no disrespect to his Kilcare teammates, but it must have been back in the day that Martin told the story that there was a young Kilcare man making his debut, and wee James pulled him aside before the match and just told him, warned him. He says, "You pass to me, Martin or Roger McShane, and nobody else." And that was and to be fair, that would be James thinking that's probably, and as I said, that's probably their best chance of winning the game, and that's all that mattered to James, you know. But I thought it was very funny, you know. He was told, that young guy was told categorically, you do not pass to nobody else, only him, Martin or Roger McShane. But that was the type of James, you know. He was so competitive, you know.
He just meant that in terms of that's how we're going to win the game.
Absolutely.
Some people might say that's out of order, but all of us has said, go, the best outcome is if you do that, there's the best chance of us winning the match, yeah?
100%, Bryn. I wish I had that in me down through the years that you're fit to tell some of my teammates to do that. But James was just, that was just James. It was that ferocious competitor. It was about winning. And obviously when he had the blue and yellow from Kilcare on, it was all about winning, you know. But it just, James to me, Bryn, could have played anywhere. And if you think back on that 92 team, I remember, I think it was Paddy Hegarty was talking over the weekend as well, that for that 10-minute or 15-minute period after Raz to go sent off in the first half, James actually went back corner back. And he picked up Declan Bateson and he started knocking the head of Declan Bateson after the thing, and Declan Bateson was taken aback a wee bit because this was a corner, or I think James played in the corner that day, maybe corner forward. And, you know, what are you at? He says, I'm giving you exactly what I'm getting out the other side, you know. But James was that comfortable. He played corner back. We readjusted at half time and Barry McGowan went back in there and James came back up into the forward line. But he was so versatile. He could play any position. And it goes back to what John Joe said at the start. It was all about do not give the ball away. And I would reiterate that if you give the ball away once, you might get another pass from James. If you give it away twice, you're probably not going to get another pass from James, because it was all about keeping possession and giving yourself the best chance to win.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Of course, he made his debut for Kilcare, John Joe, as you were mentioning, way back in 82. He played right up into 2000, won the three championships, won captain in 82, won many a league title, Gaeltacht title, All-Ireland Gaeltacht as well. Of course, managed Kilcare on two different occasions. I was on the line against him with a three-game saga, and just like you're saying, lads, you know, James was softly spoken, but he wanted to tell you something, he soon let you know. And obviously a county minor and under 21 at 2 years, you know, senior debut was in 1989. John Joe, and those times, John Joe, that dressing room, there seemed to be so many people in there of that were like leaders. You know, it looked like so many people knew the game, knew what they were about in that dressing room, that one that would eventually go all the way in 92.
Well, yeah, if you think about it, but things was different back then, Brendan, you know. You would have, you know, if you look at the present set up now, where you come up through an academy and you just end up in a county dressing room, maybe with not that much experience past you from a club point of view. But you know, you would have been having to prove yourself as a leader with your club in those days. And you know, we know, you know, the two McHughes and many more were big strong men in that Kilcare dressing room. So yeah, it just so happened that Donegal team, they did have a lot of natural leaders. How that came about, I don't know. We were always vocal in our ways, and I know from a Glencolmkill point of view, there was no such thing as missing club matches, and you know, you had every county player at the time had to carry the can really with their club, and any day that you wouldn't be the star player, you know, that you'd be asked questions, you know. So I think that was the mentality of the lads that ended up playing county football. I mean, like Matt Galler came from a junior club at the time, but I mean, like, you wouldn't have thought so when you seen him in playing senior under county. Probably the same as with Declan Boner, and there's probably a few more as well if I thought hard enough. So yeah, the leadership just came naturally to the group, and then suppose there was a bit of success as well. There's no doubt that the older lads came from a background where they won. They were the first people to win an All-Ireland Under-21 title. And it was, I mean, like they were my heroes coming into the team a few years later. So, yeah, Donegal, there was a feeling at the time that maybe things were starting to happen. And, you know, we have to give the managers great credit as well. Tom Cunnan took me into the team, and then Brian McInniff carried it on. So, you know, it's... We were about at the right time, Brian or Brendan. That's
They were special moments. They were special moments for all us watching. And to Tony, you know, we mentioned James. He covered so much. Obviously, he won Railway Cups as well. And then we had the 1990 obviously All Star in 1992, and then the All Ireland. And he was an All Star that year as well, Tony. And just sharing those memories with him, Tony, in terms of the white heat of battle, and you mentioned not giving the ball away. There's one thing that you don't want to do in those tight games when you're trying to find your feet and find your way. You need men who are going to take care of the ball, and on that run, James was absolutely pivotal.
No, absolutely. You know, probably I think if you look at that run in 1992, there was a vital, vital ball that James won when we go back to his ball winning ability. And I think Brian referenced it in a piece he done recently. I think you were down, obviously, people that know that game. John Cunningham was sent off, and we were down to 14 men and against Derry for probably three quarters of the game, but there was a vital ball out around the old dugouts, which used to be on the hillside, where it dropped. It looked like it nearly dropped in between and around Big McGilligan's legs, and James sort of came in and swooped in, and McGilligan just couldn't get a hold of him, couldn't get a wrap of him. I think we got up the field, and he might have got it to Martin, and Martin kicked a vital score, maybe to push us two ahead or whatever. But that was James, you know. He was that type of player that, as John Joe said earlier on, could read the game. He had a great knowledge of the game. He knew the type of pass, to make, you know. And listen, we as you said, Brendan, we, you know, Martin, obviously, you know, I would, if anyone ever asked me, Martin was probably the best player and Donegal player I ever played, because the link between myself and him, you know, because he was the man delivering most of the ball into me, you know. And I think Martin obviously had a higher profile back then, but I think that suited James. You know, James didn't like to be in the limelight. James liked to, as John Joe said, maybe have a cigarette after training or on the way back. Or there's a famous story that we used to get the Puma Kings. We used to get a pair of Puma Kings, but for some reason there was the, whether there was no Puma Kings available this certain year, we got cash instead. And then two men decided that they would come back through Flintown that evening, and myself and Declan would travel back. And I think that money for the Puma King ended up in the Rainbow Bar in Flintown one night after training. But listen, like that, you'd have your 2 pints, you'd have your bit of crack, bit of slag, and that would be it. And then it was all about the next training session and the fun that we had and the slagging that we had, and James was very, very much centre of that.
Yeah, exactly, Tony. It's just how he always came across. And John Joe, just on that, after 1992, then, you know, there was obviously, you guys were getting pulled and hauled everywhere. Was it more, as Tony was saying there, James just liked it as maybe quiet pint and a wee cig and chill out? It was rather than the madness that was going around everywhere.
Yeah, well, Tony Boyle is telling too many stories there for my luggage.
What's next?
he's going to destroy the book on us if he doesn't slow down a bit. But yeah, no, it was all good. One thing we say about our carload, and I know most of there's kind of that's legendary stuff, but you know, regardless of what went on, come the Thursday or come the Sunday morning, anyway, everybody was seriously positive going up the road. And you know, like the teams going in those days, the only thing that mattered really was the victory on the Sunday. And, you know, we lost plenty. We can all talk about winning in 1992 or whatever, but we lost equally as many, and there were equally as good teams that just didn't get the rub of the green. But yeah, back to your question, Brendan. James was, I mean, like James was, he loved good company, and he loved good conversation. And how that came about, it didn't really matter. You know, I mean, like you'd be sitting in, we'd done a few away trips around that time. We were in London a few times, and we were in Glasgow a few times. And you know, that was just heaven, I think, as far as James was concerned, you know, because you could, you know, get into a corner, the corner of a bar and just have a good conversation among ourselves. And, no, that was his life, and just everything when everything was going good, and James was playing well, and we were all playing well, and we were getting victories. That was the important thing. But there was definitely more to James than football, you know. I mean, he could talk about anything really, and you know, we're talking about people that miss James. You know, it's over 20 years since we would have played, but him and his ESB colleagues and that were working with him right up to the last minute, they would have great stories about him as well, and his ability to tell stories and to connect with the young just equally as much as the older people, you know.
Yeah, indeed. And you know, you even mentioned vocational schools there, Barry Campbell's effect on him there. Johnny, we left, he went to Connemara Fabrics initially. You mentioned that obviously the ESB was where he'd spend most of his working life. Liked a wee bit of farming as well, Tony. He was certainly a man for the land and the culture. Gilgore, you know, he was well able to hold a conversation. He did some bit of co-com in that, with Ocean in that. So somebody who thought very deeply about the game and loved his culture and his music, Tony.
No, absolutely, Bren, you know, very, very, listen, he would have been the heart of that, not alone the Kilcar GA, but the heart of the community, you know, and you've seen that from how the GA and the community sort of rode in over this last number of days, which were, you know, unbelievably tough and sad for their community, for the McEwen O'Donnells, you know. But as Jojo said earlier, and you had mentioned, Brendan, about, you know, how they conducted the whole, you know, arrangements around the wake and the funeral and everything was, you know, and listen, as members of the 92, like, we were just honoured to be there, you know, as ex-teammates and friends of James and Noreen, and hopefully provided, you know, some sort of comfort for the family. But one of, you mentioned about the music, one of my fondest memories of James, and I can remember it vividly, back to the night it happened. It was actually the night of our banquet out in Malahide, in the Grand in Malahide, and after all the formalities were over, the Sunday game, you know, that all ended, you know, it was a wee bit more relaxed, and obviously the family and friends were there, but Daniel had obviously landed out to sing a few songs, and I was up at the bar with a couple of my brothers and a couple of mates having a pint, and I got this tap on the shoulder, and I looked around, and it was James actually and Noreen, and I wouldn't have known Noreen that well, because that was probably one of the first functions that we had in the 2 years that I was there, and James, you know, called me aside and he says, Tony, you wouldn't do me a favour. You wouldn't introduce me and Noreen to Daniel. We're big fans. And I sort of stopped for a split second because I didn't, you know, I wasn't sure, but they were absolutely deadly serious. But because I knew Daniel, because we're from the same area and that, I said, not a bother. And I landed over and Daniel was talking to some people and give Daniel a shout and says, Daniel, listen, James and Noreen would like to meet you. And what James and Noreen were fans of Daniel's, but I don't think what James realised that night was Daniel was very much a fan of his, you know, and was in awe to meet him. But that was James. He just after won an All-Ireland medal, but he was interested in one of the musicians. And it's funny, I was talking to Jim. I was sharing that story with Jim last week, and Jim had said he actually bumped into James and Noreen at a Snow Patrol concert some years back, himself and his wife Yvonne. So very much loved his music, very much loved his farming, and as John just said, you know, we met a lot of the ESB guys afterwards, who were, a lot of them are ex-footballers like ourselves, and some great stories, you know, just, you know, great to be in the company of James when he's telling the yarn.
Yeah, Tony, absolutely. But listen, lads, absolutely great to be in the company of you two guys this evening, John, Joe and Tony. That was brilliant. Tony, you just mentioned to me before James's song that he would pull out for the bus or for after them big championship games was
that
Ballad of Meal O'Care?
The usual thing, you would have your usual Malloy would be given a couple of bars, and you might get the lovely old Fontana to JJ there, and myself and Jim would be a wee bit more modern. We'd give an odd Dr. Hook song, but to be fair, you had to cajole a tune out of James. But when James sang, and James' go-to tune was the Ballad of Meal O'Hare, but when James sang on the bus, Benny, hey, you could hear a pin drop. You could absolutely hear a pin drop. And he didn't do it that often, but when he done it, hey, just everyone absolutely loved it.
Aye, first class. John Joe, we're going to finish out the show with that. There's only one old version of that song online, and I just listened to it, and the words are actually very poignant to it, JJ, so we're going to finish out with that one. Is that all right, sir?
Aye, of course, and fair play to yourself, Brendan, for taking the time and the thought
to give James an honour.
Tribute, because that's the way we all just have the memories at this stage, so we'll cherish them.
We will indeed. John Joe, thanks very much. Tony Boyle, two heroes of mine, and it was unbelievable to get playing with, as it was James himself on this sad day. We remember James, and knowing our thoughts and prayers are with all the family. We're going to finish with this song. I want you just to take time, because the words of the song really resonate with James.
Greatest hero of them all.